It's been good to be here again this morning. I felt kind of bad. Steve ended up kind of doing double duty. We're spread kind of thin. And so he ended up at OCC and then coming over here. So thank him for that. I feel we've been fed. So I was thinking about the message for today. It's probably something that this past week I was pondering on quite a bit, and that is sowing and reaping. I spent several hours, for a couple days, out in a field planting seed. Believe it or not, springtime's almost here. I even ended up buying some potatoes and some onion bulbs to plant. On one side, it's kind of a feeling of a dread, and on the other side, it's with anticipation. You know, look forward to doing that. But, you know, some days it feels like it's spring, and other days it just doesn't feel like that. But as I was thinking about seed, you know, it tells a story. Seeds can tell a story. And I'd like to start out here with a little story of what some seeds did. And so maybe it's probably a story a lot of you children have heard. But there was it's said this young fellow in North Carolina. He may have been about the age of you boys here in the front row. But his dad was getting ready to go to town, and he noticed his son was looking at the watermelon patch. He was eyeing the watermelons, and it's probably a hot summer day knowing North Carolina. And he told his son, he said, those watermelons aren't ripe. He said, you leave them alone, and he headed on for town. Well, after his dad left for town, we're calling Billy, I don't know what his name was, but he couldn't help it but just go out and eye these watermelon, and he had seen his dad, you know, knocking on them. You know how you knock on a melon? I knock on them, but I don't really know what I'm supposed to hear. But he went out there and he knocked on these, and finally he found one that just sounded right, and he was pretty sure it was right. Well, he did what he knew he shouldn't do. He picked that watermelon. There was lots of watermelon in that patch. Dad would never miss one. He took it down across the fence, down to the creek, and put it in the water and let it cool off a while. Then he took it out, took a rock, and he split it. Oh, it was red, ripe, and sweet. He ate that whole watermelon. And he got done. What do you have left? You have the rinds left. You know, some people don't eat the seeds. He had the seeds left. You know, that's evidence. And he didn't really like that. So he dug a hole. He was, again, this is North Carolina. This isn't your rocky ground around here. It's probably pretty easy to dig. He dug a hole. He stuck that rind and all those seeds down the hole, covered it up. Nobody knows, right? A couple weeks went by, and his dad was out and was checking on the cows. He went down across the fence. What's this? He looked. Whole bunch of little watermelon sprouts, all in a tight little patch. So he went and he started digging. He dug and he found watermelon rind, and he figured out what happened. Well, they had a little father and son time after that story goes. But so be careful what you do. You know, we may, when we think of sowing and reaping, you know, you may grow watermelons, plants where you don't want them. If you want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, I'd like to look at some verses there. Galatians 6 is a passage that's, well, 5 and 6, passage that's full. But look at, I want to read verses 6 to 10. Galatians 6, 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He's talking about sowing and reaping. And then notice there in that chapter 90, Psalm chapter 92 that Brother Steve turned to there at the beginning, it says the righteous, if we go back a couple of verses earlier, verse 12, it says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I thought that went along so well with this thought of sowing and reaping. You know, if we, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, are we planted this morning in the house of the Lord? The law of sowing and reaping. You know, we understand that if we plant a row of corn, we hope to harvest those ears of corn. From those little seeds, we hope from every seed we have an ear or more of corn. You know, if we plant potatoes, we hope to dig potatoes. You know, good fresh potatoes are hard to beat. We don't just plant that one piece of potato and expect we'll pull another potato out, but we want, there's hopefully lots of them of all different sizes. Well, I was talking about planting seed this past week. You know, some of us, a few of us here have chickens that are called pasture chickens, and they're supposed to have X amount of square feet outside per bird, and we are supposed to supply vegetation to keep things planted, to help keep these birds healthy and occupied, keep them picking on other things instead of each other. You know, sometimes I look at them and they just act a little bit too much like people. You know, if they don't have something to do, they target each other, and it ends up being deadly sometimes. But you know, they need this vegetation, and we're hoping they produce healthy eggs. Now the problem is that these barns are set in the middle of this piece of property, and all these pastures go out from there. So if you imagine kind of like a pie shaped around there, these pastures start off narrow and get big at the outside. It's backwards from what it should be, but there's really no way to turn that around. So what happens when all these chickens go out in this narrow little part and start out? They just, within a day or two of being let out, my experience is it gets bare ground. They just clean it all off, and then they start moving out further. Well, in trying to figure out what to do, I was trying to research and trying to figure out what I could plant, what you could put in there. And I finally found somebody sent me to a company in Nebraska that specializes in cover crops. And so I sent them an inquiry, and I said, I've got chicken pasture here that I need. Do you have anything you'd recommend for that? Well, I could tell just by the emails. They were a little bit blank and a little bit unsure what's chicken pasture. And they were a little lost. So finally, I sent them some pictures, and I said, does this help? And he said, oh, yes, it helps. And they went back and forth, and they finally sent me some seeds. And I brought a few along here. And the one I found kind of interesting, I don't know how good you can see this from back there, but there's a bag of seed, and there is lots of different kinds of seeds in there. And Brother David Peachy was helping me get that planter going, and he looked at this seed and he said, do you know what you're planting? I said, not really. And so I'm kind of going by faith. I'm hoping these people didn't send something that me and my neighbors wish weren't here. But this seed, there's just all kinds of different seeds in there, and I brought a bunch of little bags here, so it's 4 to 9-year-olds, if you'd like to take a little bag home and try it and figure out what all's in here, I'd be interested in knowing. So after church, if you want to come up and you'd like a pack, you're welcome to it. Please keep it closed or give it to your parents or something until you get out of the church house at least. But they sent these seeds, and they were, after they sent them, after the shipment arrived, they were nice enough to send me a email asking me if everything arrived all right in good shape, and I told them they did, and they said, then interestingly enough, they said, you know, we pray that our seed will grow and will produce for you, for our customers. And I thought that was interesting. You know, when we plant seeds of in our community, seeds of love, seeds of whatever it is, when we reach out, do we pray or do we just do something and we go our way? Are we interested in what's going to happen with the seed that we sow in the spiritual sense? Do we pray that it might yield? You know, every one of us is sowing seeds of some kind. You know, are we just sowing and leaving it there? Or do we want it to yield? Or, you know, sometimes there's people that the saying goes that, you know, they're doing things all week, sowing seeds, and they come to church Sunday and they pray for a crop failure. And they really don't want the reaping of what they're sowing. And I trust that's not the case. You know, this passage in Galatians says God is not mocked. You know, we may fool men. We may convince people around us that we're sowing good seed. But, you know, finally, what does it produce? Are we sowing to the spirit? Or are we sowing to the flesh? There was this, the story goes, a man told his hired hand to plant barley. And the man went out and he planted oats. As this was growing up, the farmer asked, he said, "What? I wanted barley, not oats." He said, "Well," he said, "you, during the week, you say one thing and do another." He said, "you might get barley." He said, "I figured the same thing here." He said, "But you know, it's what are we? What are we planting? What are we sowing? What are we doing? Do we want to reap what we're sowing?" Now, I planted a lot of seeds, and I'm trusting they're good seeds and that they bear fruit. You know, many countries, seeds are hard. It's a hard to get commodity. But we can go to town. We can get seeds, all kinds of seeds. We can order seeds online. We get catalogs that have beautiful pictures of all kinds of beautiful plants and the fruit. You can just order all day long. But there's one thing that's a fact. You must sow to reap. You know, seeds that are sitting in on the shelf aren't going to, you're not going to reap anything from them. There's claims that there's 2,000-year-old Chinese seeds that have been preserved in tombs that have been dug up and planted and have grown. You know, that long they sat there, but they didn't do it. They didn't do anything, but they had to have moisture and soil to grow. Hosea says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you." You know, has righteousness rained on you? Has righteousness rained on me? It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. You know, the cross, the central fact of Christianity, you know, on the cross that Christ died for our sins so that you and I might have life. You know, he took what we deserve so that we can have what we don't deserve, and that's the hope of eternal life. The blessings he gives us in this life, the hope of heaven, all eternity with Christ. Psalm 126:5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know, in a sense, we could say Christ died in tears so that we might have the joy of salvation, so that he might reap in joy. You know, we can think of sowing in a lot of different ways. You know, we have school children here. To get those lessons done, to get that algebra down pat, it takes study. It takes time. It takes work. But you know, there's a reaping for that work. There's rewards for that work. And maybe you don't understand it now. Maybe you wonder what these things are for. But you know, I firmly believe that later you'll never look back and be sorry that you put your heart into it, that you worked. You know, there's any kind, many professions take study. You know, if you're going to be a doctor, a nurse, a veterinary, there's a lot of time goes into that. And to be able to be that, to get that profession, you reap excellence if you sow in effort. You know, sowing good deeds. You know, you could say sowing in repentance, sowing in Bible reading and prayer, sowing in faithful church attendance. You know, there's so many things that it takes effort. It takes time. Like was mentioned this morning. Are you willing the men at the OCC there that were willing to make the effort to go to a service where there was no. They may have some fellow, some brother in there that would have encouraged them, but it was not mandatory. They didn't have to go there. In fact, I don't know if they're even encouraged. But, you know, if you've grown up in a Christian home and you've been encouraged, you've been brought to church from little on up, that's a blessing. That's not something you should take for granted. That's not something that a lot of people have. Sowing so that you can reap the grace and the mercy of God. Or we can sow to the flesh. Sow for things for our own lust and pleasures. You know, if you sow, you will reap. That's a law. You will reap something. You know, Satan is a deceiver. He says, in Galatians there, it says, be not deceived. Basically, he says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you go back to chapter 5, he talks about some of those things. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance would be dissension or strife, emulations, wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, most of these sins go back to our own pride being hurt. You know, someone else is getting the credit. Jealousy. Much can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit. You know, man has, there's been many times in history, if you look at history, that man has thought that they had the answer to the world's problems. The answer was education. The answer was a system of equality. And then we wouldn't have these problems. Then we wouldn't have all this, these issues that we're facing. But you know, that's been tried and it doesn't work. Things get worse. Education, money, equality doesn't create a new man. You know, communism would have taught that would take care of those things. But the cross is the only thing that creates a new man. Being born again, like the Jesus told Nicodemus there, he said, ye must be born from above, born by the Spirit of God. That's what changes the seed we sow. Proverbs chapter 6, I'd like to read a few verses there. Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 14, he's talking about the wicked man. He said, frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore his calamity shall come quickly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You know, he puts it very plainly there. You reap what you sow. You know, Cain let bitterness and anger build to the point that he killed his own brother. Samson disregarded his parents' advice and let his eyes lead him in the wrong direction, and the Philistines took his eyes, sowing and reaping. You know, I might have said this here before, I don't know, but when I think of walking on hot coals and not be burned, as a little fellow, probably seven years old or so, my dad did a lot of shingle roofing. And that's back in the days you could still burn the old asphalt shingles. And so he'd bring these piles of shingles home, and we'd throw them off the truck and or the trailer, and we'd light the fire, and it'd really burn, smoke, you know. But, you know, when that was all done, it was just this beautiful, smooth bed of fine ash. And it looked so, you know, I was out there barefoot, and it looked just looked like a carpet, and it hadn't smoked. Fire was, it was days, it was gone. And I just had to see how that felt, to walk in that stuff. But, you know, I kicked it in overdrive pretty fast. The guy didn't get in there very far until there was still heat down there. And it wasn't real serious, but it would have been if I'd have stood still. But I made it on through. But, you know, if you go on hot coals, you will get burned. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Whatever you sow, you will reap. And then Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, remember that watermelon seed. You know, he thought it was all buried, it was all done. But came up very clearly. You know, all have sinned. You know, sin is just simply breaking God's law. We're all sinners. We all need the mercy and the love and the grace of God. You know, we may be able to put on a good front. We may only gossip where we feel it's safe. We may think we're hiding the anger, the unforgiveness, and the bitterness in our hearts. You know, we may only read those books or watch those movies where we feel no one will find out. But you know, someday it will be there on a big screen for all to see. Someday it's going to be totally open. It says, some men's sins, this is in 1 Timothy 5:24, it says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So that it's going to be exposed, it's going to be open. The only difference is are we going to take care of it now, or is it going to be after it's too late, after the tree has fallen and it's where it lies? Now today the choice is yours. You know, your thoughts, your intent, your actions, are they under the blood, under the lordship of Jesus Christ? You know, when I see a drone going over my head, I get a little bit nervous. Because I really don't care for somebody to be just watching me from up there. When I see and then I think of the satellites out there that are recording or at least able to see exactly what's going on, even to the minute detail, you know, I get nervous or even feel a little bit violated. I mean, it's not really right that's allowed, but it's the way it is. Even if you don't have anything to hide, it's not a very good feeling. But it's there, and we know it. But, you know, are we aware? Do we have that constant awareness that we have a God, the Creator, that sees everything, that knows everything that's going on in my heart, in your heart, in your life? Nothing is hid. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Total transparency. You know, sometimes we talk about living in a glass house, you know, saying there is no privacy. You know, we may be able to sound convincing now, put on an air of spirituality that puts everyone around us to shame, but at the same time be sowing seeds that leave people questioning our sincerity. It doesn't add up. You know, he can preach all he wants, but he treats me like this. He can have his religion. You know, I trust we don't find ourselves there. Are we sowing in tears so that we may reap in joy? And this past Friday is the 16th. Does anybody, they call it an unofficial holiday. Anybody know what holiday that is? March the 16th? I wouldn't happen to stumble across it. 3:16, John 3:16. So you can see why it's not a public holiday. But it is you think of that. And interestingly enough, 30 years ago is when the Saddam Hussein poisoned all those 5,000 people with that chemical gas and nerve agent or whatever they use there, that ethnic cleansing campaign against the Kurds. It's interesting, it's on that same day, that unofficial holiday. That verse that is so precious, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The goal of celebrating the day is to encourage others to share the greatest news on earth that came about by the greatest sacrifice that was ever made by our Creator. Now we're called to sow that seed by sharing the good news. Well, today, in a little town of Afrin, in the northern part of Syria, there is kind of the same thing going on against the ethnic, the Kurds there. And they say there's 250 Christian families there that are struggling. They've cut their water off. And the forces that are coming in are ex-ISIS and those type of people that have been trained, just switched their uniforms. Seeds of hate, lust, and evil. It was terrible. And a day that should be a blessing, a day that should be, we should be remembering the one that sowed in tears so that he might reap in joy. I think we need to remember to pray for those people. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Now that is what the world needs, is to see a people that are sowing the seeds of love, that show it by their lives, by their walk. We are called to sow good seed. We can't make it grow. That's not our responsibility. There's no way we can force it. But if we sow good seed, if we participate in reaching out to the needs around us worldwide, God can use us, use it. He can use that seed. Our responsibility is to sow the seed, to spread the good news. Do we sow by prayer? Those Christians that are suffering today, they don't have any idea what the day will bring, or maybe that, there's people there that have already been devastated by ruthless men. Food, water shortages, no place to go, no means to go. I think too often I find myself anyway trying to sow fruit instead of seed. We might decide that today I'm going to be patient. Today I'm not going to get angry. Today I'm going to... It's kind of like trying to put fruit on the tree instead of planting the seeds. Well, what are we focused on? Are we focused on the things of God? Are we focused on following him? Or are we focused on things, the here and the now? Yes, we should do good things, but it should be coming from in here. It shouldn't be something that we're just doing it. comes back to what they, like the old saying says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And that's a sobering thought. You know, from the thought, it ends up a destiny. If it's not kept in check, if we aren't sowing to the Spirit, it's going to be the wrong. We're going to reap what we don't want to reap. To sow good seeds, we must be in the garden with Christ. We must have the Spirit living in us in order to sow the seeds of the Spirit. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In order for these seeds to grow well, you know, you're going to have to put them into something, into soil, into good soil, to keep them watered. The psalmist says we must take heed thereto. We can know his word, but that's not enough. We must take heed. We must listen. It must be our guiding light, a lamp that directs our paths and our steps. The weeds must be removed. You know, if you children plant some of these seeds, you may have difficulty. I know I would have. I will have if I do. Figuring out what's weeds and what's not, because I don't know how these things are supposed to look when they come up. So I'm going to have to wait for quite a while and try to figure out what's weeds and what's good seed. But you know, in the spiritual sense, you know, we know what the fruit that it should produce. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The story is told of two students that were walking along a street with full of secondhand stores in London, in the Whitechapel district of London. And one of them noticed a suit of clothes hanging in the window and said, the sign said, slightly soiled, but greatly reduced. And one of the young men looked at that sign. He said, you know, that's a good illustration. He said, when we let little things, when we let ourselves indulge a little bit in what we see and what we hear and what we do, he said, we become soiled, slightly soiled. But he said, finally, the character is greatly reduced. The value of the character is greatly reduced. I thought that's so true. You know, when we just, it's these little things. It starts with little things, but finally, the end result, if it's not taken care of, becomes a big thing. On the positive side, instead of an English traveler, he loved the wildflowers that grew on the sides of the lanes and fields in England. And so as he'd walk down along these roads, he would pick these seeds, fill his pockets with them. And as he traveled, He would throw those things, spread them out. And you know, I thought that went along so well. What are we doing as we, day by day, wherever we find ourselves? It may be at home, doing the mundane things of life, so to speak. Washing the dishes, the clothes, cleaning the house, whatever it is. It may be just out on the farm or at the store, meeting customers, wherever we find ourselves, you know, are we sowing those seeds? Are we spreading those flowers? Seeds that will bring back, that will be a blessing to others. You know, I was blessed just this two weekends ago with the spring break. We were down, we were fishing, and one of my boys lost his line, got caught, and it broke. And this older fellow beside us, he just said, here, let me see it. He took the line, he took it off, he put another hook on, he fixed it all up, he put a jig on it, and got it all set up, and was ready to fish again. And then I noticed a little later he was setting up at a picnic table going through his tackle box, and I thought, well, he must just be waiting to go home or something. And after a while, he comes walking down there with a little bag, and a little box, and had a little bag full of all kinds of different lures and stuff, and had a little box with the right size hooks and weights and things, and handed them to my son. He said, here's your starter kit. I said, well, I'll be I'll be glad to pay you for that. And he said, no. He said, the Lord's blessed me. He said, I want to bless others. You know, that's, excuse me, it's not really a big thing, but it is a big thing, you know. Are you so compelled by the love, by the grace and the mercy that you have been shown by Christ, that we are out there sowing seeds from a heart that is overflowing, excuse me, with love for the one that sowed in tears so that he might reap in joy? Let's kneel in prayer.